My name's Steve Thiel. I'm the pastor of Christ Proclamation Church. It is nice to wake up on a men's breakfast Friday morning and actually have sunlight and warm weather and it not be dark and snowing. That was nice this morning. Spring is finally here and it feels like spring. We are going to continue our men's power breakfast throughout the summer. So the next one will be on Friday, June 5th. I don't have cards for you this morning, but if you just put that in your smartphone and if you're on the distribution list, I'll make sure that you know during the week of and email you and let us know that we are gathering. And please feel free to invite friends and colleagues. This is open. This isn't limited to our church by any stretch of the imagination. So invite your friends, invite your colleagues. And we are talking about leadership, so it applies to everyone. As you know, we've been talking about the topic of the essential qualities of a great leader. Every single one of us as men is called to lead. We lead in our families. We lead in the workplace. We lead in the community. Every single setting, men are called to step forward, step up, and lead. And I've broken leadership down into three W's just to keep it simple for myself more than anything, but for you as well. Great leaders, worthy, willing, and wise. We talked about worthy leaders, humble and above reproach. Willing leaders, courageous and committed. And a wise leader is competent. And this morning, we're going to talk about how a wise leader is a great communicator. That might seem obvious to you, but knowing it and doing it are two different things. And quite frankly, as men, truth is that we don't communicate very well. And all you have to do is ask your wives about that, or I can ask them, and that's what they would tell me, right? That's why man caves were created, because we do not communicate well. We avoid communication is what we do. Yet, so I want to begin this morning and answer the question, right? How important is it to be a great communicator? Knowing that you as a man will tend to go to your man cave, I think I have to start this morning by arguing and answering the question, how important is it to be a great communicator? To do that, I'm going to start in the Bible this morning and just tell you what the Bible has to say about the tongue and how essential great communication is to your leadership and, more importantly, to your life. So listen to this, James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Okay, and you know Matthew 12 tells us that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we're talking about the tongue, it's a reflection of what you believe in your heart. And if you can't tame the tongue, according to James 1, your religion is useless. It doesn't work. It's not the real deal. Listen to this in James 3. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into a horse's mouth, so here's an analogy, so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Through this little thing in a horse's mouth, we direct the entire body. Look at the ships, another analogy. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, and they're still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. So shows us our heart, affects our entire life, and is set on fire by hell. Verse 9 goes on to say, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be this way. I read those passages just to let you know how important communication is right off the bat. It's essential. By the way, if you're not a Bible reader, you should be. Just these verses alone should convince you of that, because they just make sense. It explains your whole life. If you just think of all the trouble you've gotten in because of your mouth, James explains that to you. Tells you exactly how it works. I would encourage you not only to be reading your Bible, but be hearing the Bible explained, which is why church is so helpful. It should be a category for you. All right, managing your tongue is essential. Here are the categories that I want to look at this morning. Great communicators, number one, are great listeners. Communication works both ways, so they're great listeners. Number two, they're vision casters. Number three, they're outstanding teachers. And number four, they build up rather than tearing down. So those are the four categories this morning on great leaders being great communicators. Number one, great communicators are great listeners. Thought we'd jump in and tell you a funny story about Theodore Roosevelt. Comes out of John Maxwell's book on leadership. Tells this story that good old Teddy very much appreciated the quality of being a good listener. And as you could imagine, he's a president. He's an edgy guy, right? He pushes the envelope. I mean, to be a president, you got to be one of those guys, right? So he's at one of those official balls, and he got tired of meeting people who only returned his remarks with stiff, mindless pleasantries, as if they weren't listening to him at all, right? And you can imagine how this is. He meets people, and they're like, Mr. President, no matter what he says, they're like, nice to meet you, Mr. President, right? That's how that goes. So he got a little bit tired of that. And he started greeting people with a smile and saying, I murdered my grandmother this morning, the President of the United States saying that. And of course, most people were too nervous or too diplomatic or just not listening. Yes, Mr. You know, you can just imagine that. I murdered my grandmother this morning, until finally one diplomat leaned over and whispered in his ear, and he said, I'm sure she deserved it. But isn't that true? We live in a world where everyone's talking, but nobody's listening. Just observe conversations. This happened in my house just the other day. We had a bunch of people over for dinner, and we're sitting around the table, and I tried to open up a question for the whole table. So just, you know, throw it out there and then kind of move around, let different people answer so that you could get to know one another a little bit better. And I'm telling you, people weren't listening to other people. It became a answer and then, you know, one-upsmanship. Oh, I did this and I did that. People don't listen and ask follow-up questions. And you kind of have to butt in and say, well, how did that go? Oh, yeah, how did that go? You know, we just don't listen very well. Communication requires a sender and a receiver. So in order for good communication to take place, you have to be a good listener. You actually have to listen to the people you're talking to, which means you have to stop talking. Say less, listen more, and confirm that you're understanding what you're hearing. So when you hear something, say, oh, are you saying this? Confirm that you actually understand what the person is saying. Listen to some quotes on listening. Woodrow Wilson, the ear of the leader must ring with the voices of the people. Here's another one. A good leader encourages followers to tell him what he needs to know, not what he wants to hear. Tell me what I need to. So just think about this in your marriage. If your wife tells you how she's actually doing rather than how she wishes she was doing, do you see how much more helpful that is? People who work for you, if they tell you the facts rather than what you think they think you want to hear, now you actually have something to base your leadership on. Here's what's really going on. Now I know what we need to do, how we need to respond to that. But you got to listen. You probably got to ask better questions that you know what's going on. One last thing before I move on, gentlemen. Listening and understanding is the key to your marriage. You actually understanding your wife. 1 Peter 3:7, you husbands live with your wife in an understanding way. What does that mean? It means you're listening. You're understanding how they're doing. Which means you can't go to the man cave. You got to listen. You got to communicate. Number two, great communicators are vision casters. Leadership doesn't happen until communication happens. You may have the most brilliant strategy ever created, most breathtaking vision in your mind, the deepest passion in your heart, but if it's never communicated, then it doesn't exist. Nobody knows about it, and you're not really leading. So to be a great leader, you have to communicate, which means you have to cast vision. Constantly, skillfully, intentionally, strategically, which means you're communicating with clarity and with consistency. Just think of some of the great leaders. You think of Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, right? We still remember quotes from their speeches. You know, we will defend our island, whatever the cost. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. You know those words. Winston Churchill, 1940. How about these words? 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Right? Gettysburg Address. Abraham Lincoln. He's casting vision. Clarity and consistency with conviction about where you want to go in the future. Let me ask you, gentlemen, do you have a vision to cast? If you just pause and step back, am I casting vision? What am I about? What do I have clarity on? What do I have conviction on? What am I proclaiming consistently with my words and with my life? You might be hearing speeches like these guys and thinking, yeah, that's awesome. These are great men in great circumstances stepping up and leading. I don't live that life. I'm not in that place. I would disagree with you. You were born for such a time as this. I would say right off the bat, and this won't surprise you, right, as men we're called to believe and defend the Bible. You've been given a vision. You've been given a commission. Here's what you should do. But in addition, you've been given families, right? You have a family and you're the leader of your home. Here's the question. What vision are you casting with your wife and your children? I would argue that primarily that should be about Jesus and the gospel. But in addition to that, what vision are you casting? What are you doing when you sit around the dinner table? You eat together. What do you talk about? Who's running the show at the dinner table? Is it the kids? Are you letting them control the conversation? That's not helpful. Control the conversation. You're casting vision. Everybody's there. Your whole company is right here. You have control of them, right? And you can communicate what direction is this family going. Maybe you have roommates. You sit down with them. Where are we going? You're at work. You have a meeting, your staff meeting. Where are you going? You're always casting vision. Think about your home. We memorize scripture on the table, our dining room table. Why do we do that? Because I want my kids to know that the Word of God is important. It's important to me, and I want it to be important to them, and we're going to set time aside every single day when we're together as a family, and we're going to memorize scripture. The other thing we do at our table every single night is we play high-low. What is high-low? High-low is a goofy little game that I created because I want my kids to learn how to listen to one another. So I don't know what your table looks like, but if my table's not managed, then everybody is talking at the same time and nobody is listening to anybody, which is clearly a pet peeve of mine. So we play high-low and we go around the table and I want to hear the best part of your day and the hardest part of your day. And I try to encourage my kids to ask questions about what they're hearing so they can learn how to communicate well. Not just communicate, but cultivating their heart to be more interested in other people rather than themselves. So you're casting vision all the time and you communicate. Great leaders are great communicators and they're constantly casting vision. So I'd ask you this morning, if you take nothing else out of the message, think long and hard about what vision you want to cast and then start communicating it. Number three, great communicators are outstanding teachers, right? We well-known saying that I think is absolutely true that you can't teach what you haven't learned. You can't teach what you haven't learned. So a prerequisite to being a great teacher is that you're a humble learner. You're constantly learning. You don't know everything, and so you need to be listening and you need to be learning. And then when you learn that, you're actually able to turn around and teach other people. By the way, isn't it the most frustrating thing in the world when you have information that you are willing and wanting to share with someone who needs that information, right? You're in a dialogue, you're in a situation, and the person is talking, and you're like, I have the solution to your problem. If you would just stop talking long enough to listen, I could be helpful to you. But they won't. They don't stop talking long enough to actually hear what you have to say. They just keep talking. And more often than not, they're complaining. And what are they complaining about? That I don't have an answer to my problem. And you're standing there and you're like, shh, I can help you. I want to weigh in. I'm willing and I have the information that you need. See, great communicators are outstanding teachers, and they know this number one lesson. You don't try to communicate when nobody's listening to you. That's futile. It doesn't accomplish anything. So if they're talking, you're a fool to jump in and just try to talk louder over them because they're not really listening. Number one thing you should think about in being a great teacher is waiting until you have traction to communicate. I need a humble listener to actually teach them something. You see this all the time on the ball field, right? My kids are playing baseball all the time right now, and I'm watching. And the great leaders, the great teachers that are there who are coaching my kids, they just wait. And they wait till they have the kids' attention. And when they have the kids' attention, now they teach them. And they don't try to teach when they're all over the place. The Bible's all over this. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool is arrogant, and he's not listening. Proverbs 2:2, wise man is humble. He makes his ear attentive to wisdom. He inclines his heart to understanding. And a teacher knows when a person is inclining their heart to understanding, and then you teach. Great communicators are outstanding teachers. They teach when they're being heard. They also teach with both their words and their actions. It's not just words. It's the way you live your life, right? Best example of this is your kids, right? The well-known saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Back in Wisconsin, the signs on the feed store used to say, if you don't like the crop that you're reaping, check the seed that you're sowing. Same idea. Your kids are going to do what you do, not what you say. Now, you're certainly responsible to teach them with what you say. That's vision casting and verbal teaching. But you need to live a life that's consistent with the words that you're teaching. I remember my dad telling me over and over and over again, never to start smoking. Don't smoke. While he's smoking, you shouldn't do this, son. Never do this. This is a bad habit. It's terrible. What did I do as soon as I left the home? I started smoking. I didn't listen to what he said. I listened to what he did, which is essential as you think about your parenting. Are you teaching your kids to be patient with your words, but you're impatient with your actions? I fail at this all the time. You need to be patient. that's really effective. Are you teaching them to have a positive attitude while you're grumbling? Are you teaching them to be thankful while you have an entitlement mentality? Are you teaching them to be generous when you're stingy? Are you teaching them to take responsibility when you're avoiding it? Are you teaching them to jump in and be helpful when you're hoping somebody else will do it? Right? You got to ask yourself the question, are my words matching up with my life? And if they're not, you're a hypocrite. Here's another way to look at it. If you turn it around, your kids are a mirror to who you are. Same thing is true in the workplace. The people who work for you are a mirror of who you are. If they've got a bad attitude, you need to look at yourself. Maybe you have a bad attitude. If they're grumbling, maybe you're grumbling. It's a mirror for you. Helps you understand the qualities that you're, things that you see that are good in the people that follow you are things that you do well. That's wonderful. But evaluate the things that you don't like and be willing to look at yourself and say, that's coming from me. And then make the adjustments. How are you doing with that? Are you holding yourself to the same standard as your instruction, or are you being a hypocrite? Great communicators are great teachers, and they're great teachers both with their words and with their lives. Number four, last point this morning. Great communicators build people up, and they don't tear people down. Build people up, they don't tear people down. This is really pressing home the idea of verbal aspect of teaching, right? It's in the tone in which you're teaching and you're communicating. What kind of orientation? Well, we started by Matthew 12, thinking about the idea that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this tells you your orient, the way you come across and communicate to people. If you're irritated and frustrated all the time, it tells you what's going on in your heart and your orientation to people. So you got to ask yourself the question, are you a person who's frustrated all the time? Are you irritated with people? Or are you a person who has a positive tone in the way you communicate? You're upbeat and you assume the best of people. Tells you a ton about where your heart is. Just think about your kids again, how you interact with them. I've got kids who are now 12, 11, 9, and 7. We've got all sorts of chores going on in our house. Right, Gabby's responsible for the laundry. My son Sam, 11 years old, he's responsible for the garbage. All right, the other two kids, along with Gabby and Sam, are responsible for the room and the dishes. We just have this routine, things that they do in the house that they're responsible for. We got allowance we're trying to manage, giving them, you know, a certain amount of cash every single week. We divide that into giving and spending and tithing to the church. So we're trying to cultivate all that stuff goes together, right? But how do they do with their chores? How do your kids do with their chores? You need constant reminders, right? You, every single day. Like, this cracks me up, right? You're in the kitchen. You walk by the garbage is spilling over onto the floor. It needs to be taken out, right? And I have to watch my attitude because that's how I communicate, right? Sammy, what's going on, buddy? You know, and I'll bring him over. How do you think that's going? You know? It gets the job done, right? I mean, he takes it out, and then, of course, he comes back in, and he goes about his business, and then I have to say, Sam, we got to put another garbage bag in there, right? Constant reminders, constant instruction. But I don't have to handle it like that, do I? I don't have to have that orientation. You can handle it a totally different way. You can say, hey, Sam, can I help you take out the garbage? Like, you can be for him. Hey, let me help you. Here's the recycling. You grab the garbage, I'll take the recycling. Now, you obviously had to remind him. I did, but now I'm with him in the process. Now, while I'm carrying out the recycling and he's carrying out the garbage, I can say to him, hey, bud, let's try to do a better job at remembering to take the garbage out. Okay, Dad, thanks. I really appreciate that. Just communicating that I'm for him, I'm not against him. The same is true with my daughter. If you've got boys and girls, my boy, I can say, take the garbage out. If I say to my daughter, go do the laundry, okay, and then the next thing I know, tears are coming down her eyes. There's a difference, right? Same is true with your wife. You know that, how you communicate. So doing that in a way that encourages her and lets her know, I am for you. I am with you. And yet you're still leading and instructing. So I'd encourage you to think about what's going on in your heart as you communicate to people. Are you building them up or are you tearing them down? And I'm telling you, when you're a person who builds people up, that's your orientation because your heart orientation is for people, people will follow you. You're a fun person to follow. You're a great leader. People will willingly follow you. So great leaders are great communicators, right? They're great listeners, they're vision casters, they're outstanding teachers, and they build people up rather than tearing them down. And I'm telling you, nobody has done this better than the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody's done it better than him. And you shouldn't be surprised by that, right? God is the one who created us, and God is the one who sent his son to communicate with us. Right, he's the mediator. The one mediator between God and man is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he shouldn't surprise you, is the greatest communicator. Do you know that the Bible actually refers to him as the Word, the message? That's how much it's about him being a communicator. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only Father, full of grace and truth. He's the Word, the message, the communicator. He's the best listener. Now, why do I say that? Because he understands us better than anybody. Right? He understands our situation, which is why he came in the first place. Vision casting, he came on a mission to die on a cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. That's because he understands our situation. And then raised up, right? On the third day, resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he gave us, as part of his mission, a vision, the Great Commission, to go and carry out what he's already communicated to us. That's how clear his vision was. And he is an outstanding teacher. We're in the book of John as a church, going through it. Even this Sunday, John chapter 7, right? The people who are against him acknowledged how great of a teacher he is. They said in our passage this Sunday, we have never heard a man speak the way that this man speaks, with authority and with clarity and with a consistent message. Jesus was a great teacher, and he built people up. He didn't tear them down. Now, he didn't blow smoke. Right, that's you can be an encourager and build people up, but you're lying to them. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus spoke truth, and he told people hard things. He told them about the reality of sin, and he told them about the reality of judgment, and Jesus spoke about the reality of hell. But he didn't leave them there. He was with them, right? And he offered to them salvation, which he accomplished and carried out. But he offered it to them to build them up, that they could be reconciled to God. Gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the greatest leader there's ever been. He's willing, he's worthy, he's wise. Great leader and a great communicator. But he's more than just a man to be followed. He's a man to be believed in, to be trusted, to put your faith in, so you can be reconciled to God, not just now, but for all eternity. Something for you to think about. Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure this morning, as always, to be thinking about what are the essential qualities of great leadership. Allow me to just pray for our day. Father, we are grateful to be together, grateful for such a wonderful breakfast, grateful to be thinking about these essential qualities of what it looks like to be a great leader. I pray that they would be on our minds and in our hearts today, both in the workplace, in the community, and in our homes. And Father, I pray most of all that you would be at work in our hearts, that we would be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, not just as a man to be followed, but as a man to be believed in, that we would put our faith in him. Father, we pray that you'd have your hand upon our day, that you would bless them. And we give all these things to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.